I want you, if you will, to take your Bibles this morning and begin opening to the Gospel of Luke, if you will. Luke chapter number 1. I want to share a message this morning on what we believe about Christmas. What we believe about Christmas. Let's note Luke chapter number 1. And verses 1 through 4 this morning. Luke chapter 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemeth good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things which thou hast been instructed. I just love those verses as I read them, because we find here that Luke, by the power of the Holy Ghost, is going to set in order those things that are surely believed among us. Now, please take these personal pronouns, the we and the us, is that which makes up the believers, those who are saved by the good grace of God. There are things today that we surely believe, and we believe them because they were revealed to us by God. They came according to the Word of God Himself. I'm glad today we did not enter in based upon opinion, speculation, and tradition that many hope in. But you and I come and we believe these things certainly because God hath said so. And so we find that Luke begins at this point to tell of the great coming of Christ, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, as He begins to set in order these things surely believed. And so, with the light of that, I want to preach a message this morning on what we believe about Christmas, or what we surely believe about Christmas. When you and I come to this time of life and this time of the calendar, we know that the secular world joins in with the believer in giving some type of celebration, and for the most part, it's become the holiday time. And now we have holiday trees and holiday cards and all kinds of things today. But you and I, who are believers, we come to celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are things that we surely believe that make up our celebration, our excitement, our worship, and our joy. And as we look to that, I'm reminded of the things that I hear. When I listen to the secular world, and I listen for why in the world do they attend to and celebrate Christmas time. From the positive thinking author of years gone, Norman Vincent Peale made this statement: Christmas waves a magic wand over the world, and behold, everything is softer and more beautiful. Well, that's real pleasant and all, but it's not the reason we celebrate Christmas. I have listened and read here recently of others, and I'll give you the gist of it condensed down, that Christmas time is a hope for new beginnings, a time of renewal, a time of family, a time of friendship, a time of kindness, a time of giving. And certainly we understand today that there are many wonderful benefits and blessings that come to society, but they don't come simply in celebration. They come for a reason. And that reason, we know as believers, is Jesus Christ. And that the occasion that brings about renewal, and the occasion that certainly brings about a new beginning, is when you and I open our heart by faith and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. For it is the power of God
that brings out a refreshing. It is the power of God that makes us new creatures. It's the power of God that can transform the old selfish sinner and make him a child of God with a desire to give and to love and to care. And when families gather together, listen, they will not know the blessedness of this fellowship until the family has all come to confess Christ as their Savior and have welcomed Him to their hearts and welcomed Him and His Word into their home. Then they can know the true blessedness of the fellowship that we enjoy. And so I also listen not only to the secular world, but I listen to the religious world in its reference to Christmas time. And in jest, this is what I have discovered. A celebration of the birth of Christ, which calls us to a higher order of social consciousness and a greater duty towards our fellow man through sharing and giving. Doesn't that sound pleasant? That sounds very nice. And certainly there is a celebration of the birth of Christ, but you and I, listen, in order to celebrate truly, we have to know who He is and what He did and understand what He has said. However, there are many that simply say that the birth of Christ causes us to look up and realize that we have a responsibility to our fellow man. But I want to tell you, our responsibility goes far beyond sharing and giving in the material blessings of life. The greatest thing you can do for your family and friend and neighbor is share with them the great salvation of God by grace through Jesus Christ that came in order to die for their sins to give them life eternal. That's the greatest thing you can share. And so we do show kindness, but that kindness is a reflection of our faith in Christ and what He has done for us. We share material things with others because, listen, we have received the great treasure of heaven and we are possessors of eternal life. And we got everything we needed for time and eternity when we trusted Christ. And so He has liberated us to be able to give. And listen, God, I didn't get no amens on that. He has liberated us to be enabled to give because we have been given the greatest gift that a man could ever possess. A gift that will give and sustain him for eternity is mine when I receive Christ as my personal Savior. Listen, some of you may get that later on. I hope that you do. And so Luke begins to set in order things surely believed. Things set in order surely believed. Why? Because these things have been delivered to us. And he said in verse 4, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things. Isn't it amazing that so many people, in response to their soul, in response to the coming of Christ, in response to the cross of Calvary, in response to the gospel message, in response to the empty tomb, you inquire of so many about their condition of their soul and their confidence toward life eternal and being in heaven and not in hell, so many people have a wishy and washy response. You know why? Because they have not learned something that Luke is trying to teach us by the Holy Ghost. Listen to what he said. That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. God has said it, and that makes it certain. And so you and I are to have a firm and solid foundation concerning the salvation and our hope for heaven because I have put all my confidence, all my trust and all my faith and all my belief that God told me it was so. And if you hadn't got that settled, then you'll have a wishy-washy response about heaven. If you have added to your testimony any portion whatsoever of your merits and accomplishments and righteousness, you will never have a certainty in your response when someone asks you about the hope you have within you. Because as I state from this pulpit all the time, listen, No matter how good you are, you could have been better. No matter what you did, you could have done more. There will never be a certainty when you depend upon yourselves and depend upon your righteousness or your good works. Our only certainty comes when we rest ourselves upon what God has said and what Jesus Christ has done. When He said, "It is finished," it was finished. The great transaction was done. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God gives you a solid foundation of hope in your heart because He has said it. Therefore, we are to be sure and have a certainty of our eternal salvation. And so, what is revealed about Christmas? What do we surely believe about Christmas? Notice with me these things quickly. First of all, Jesus is the Christ. That word Christ is a title, not a name. I say that for the benefit of children because I grew up thinking that was His last name for many years. And so for the benefit of children, those who don't understand, and you say, "Preacher, I didn't know that." That's fine too. Christ is not a last name. It is a title. It means the anointed one. Did you get that? What am I holding up? One finger. What does that mean? No other. No other. No other. He is the only begotten Son of God. He is the Holy One. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man come the Father, but by Him there is but one that brings God's message to man. And in these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. He has been vested with all authority. And listen, He is the one to whom we look today if we want to know the life that God has brought unto us. He is the Christ, the Messiah. He is the fulfillment of all the great prophecies that were written for thousands of years concerning one who would come. From the very time of the garden in the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned, listen, to the very day in which Luke is about to record, there has been prophesied that there was coming not a group, not an assembly. Not a conglomeration. Not a bunch of individuals. But there's been prophesied of one who was coming. Those prophecies go beyond the realm of human nature. When He began to record for us this man who was to come, how the accolades and the attributes far exceed any man whatsoever. This man was divine. He was the God-man, the Son of God. For the Bible said unto us, a child was born, and the government be upon His shoulders, and He be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Listen, the prophecies declared that the man who be born was none other than God who came to dwell among us. And every prophecy concerning the Messiah was fulfilled by Jesus, except for those that are yet to come when He returns to reign upon the earth. We find here that in chapter number 1, that verse number 11, here we find the priest Zacharias. Zacharias was doing his daily duty as he'd done all of his life as a priest of the Lord. But something happened. God interrupted the ordinary, and the angel of the Lord Himself appeared to Zacharias. Verse number 11, and there appeared to him the angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. The Bible said, of course, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John." And he goes on to tell him that he would be great, that he'd be a man of God. Verse 17, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You know what the angel of the Lord did? He quoted an Old Testament scripture. He revealed to him that as was prophesied, Zacharias, that you have known, that has been preached in this temple and taught in this temple, that there is coming a Messiah. But before He comes, there is one who will come in that spirit of Elijah who will go before Him and prepare the way of the Lord. And that child is going to be born unto you and your wife. And his name is John. And there we find that none other, verse 19, And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. You see what Luke has said to us? He has said to us these things that are surely believed. Listen, that we have received at the first, at the beginning, because it came from God. It was the angel of the Lord that appeared. It was Gabriel, the angel, who came and appeared to Zachary and confirmed that Jesus that was going to be born would be preceded by none other than John the Baptist. And we find that John gave testimony concerning that one that would come. You remember John's ministry, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And he said, there's one coming in whose shoe latch I am unworthy to unloose. John the Baptist probably was the greatest Christian they'd ever seen. A man dedicated and sold out to God, having taken the Nazarite vow. In other words, he lived a strict law life according to the law of God. Voluntarily. Listen, he lived out away from the world and he was known as a prophet of God, had great respect, and he came and he said, there's a man coming. I'm not worthy to unloose his shoes. And then he said, on the day of Jesus' public ministry, he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ was, listen, the Messiah, the Christ, the coming King. But John the Baptist revealed he's the Lamb of God. He is God's provided sacrifice to take away the sin of the world. And so then he said, listen, I baptize with water, the water of repentance, preparing your heart for him. But when he comes, he shall baptize with fire and the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God would come in and he would bring forth that Spirit of God that would come and reside in the heart of those who had come unto him in faith. And so John the Baptist told of this one who was coming. Listen, what is surely believed among us at this Christmas time is that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all the prophecies of the one who would come. And those prophecies as the Son of David, that he would come as that great king that had been told about, and that he would come and he would bring salvation to this world, that he would come and he would bring peace as the Prince of Peace. And listen, that he would come and he would solve all the problems and ills and difficulties that had come upon life, and even the course of nature would be changed by his presence. It is none other than Jesus the Christ. You see, my friend, Jesus Christ was vested with all power and authority, and his life came to fulfill all things recorded of him. Let me give you number two. We find that once again, the angel of the Lord came again. And this time, listen, came to a virgin named Mary. And the angel spoke to her, and the angel told her that she was favored by God, in that she was going, listen, to be a handmaid of the Lord, to be a servant. And listen, look what he said. Verse number 31 of chapter 1 of Luke. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary, they're responding, verse 34, to the angel said, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. What is surely believed about Christmas among us, that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. That Jesus Christ was virgin born. That his birth was a miracle birth. It amazes me, listen, the hypocrisy and the contradiction of modernism and liberalism today that takes the word in modern translation from virgin and simply makes a young woman. Listen, how foolish and contradictory and ridiculous and plain stupid and dumb is that when she required of the angel and asked of him, how shall this thing be, no, that I know not a man. She testified, listen, that she was a virgin in the very Scripture. Hey, listen, attempting to change it to a young maiden and take away the aspect of the miracle birth when the Scripture tells us plainly and simply out of her own mouth she said indeed that's what she was. How can it happen? How can it be? It's only by a divine miracle of God that it's going to take place. Because, listen, He was the Son of God placed by the Holy Ghost in a virgin womb. Listen, we don't have time for the doctrine of all of it. But listen, it was imperative that Jesus be born of a virgin womb. Because, listen, the sin nature has passed through Adam, that is through the man. The sin nature has received Jesus Christ, was born every bit of man as you are, but born without a sin nature. And listen, the virgin-born Son of God, listen, that's testified. You remember the angel of the Lord also appeared to Joseph in Matthew's gospel. And you remember what happened? Joseph, when he discovered marriage with the child, he did something very respectable. He did not want her to be judged, and so he was going to put her away secretly, privately. But what happened? The angel of the Lord appeared to him and told him, oh, listen, that is a holy child within her. And listen, confirmed unto him that it was none other than Jesus Christ that was to be born. And to proceed with confidence in the marriage. For she had not violated that oath and covenant that she had made. But here Joseph now recognized that Mary not only had kept her covenant and her vow, but she had been honored by God Himself in order to bring forth this child. And so we find the angel of the Lord came and confirmed it also unto Joseph. You see, my friend, and told him, and told her that his name, he told Mary and he told Joseph that the name of the child will be Jesus. Why? Because Jesus means Savior. That He would be a Savior. And we find that Jesus speaks of the humanity of Him. And then the Bible records for us also that they shall call Him. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. We see in those two names, listen, the mystery of godliness. Jesus Christ was a man. Jesus speaks of his humanity, but Emmanuel tells us plainly that it is God who is with us. That Jesus Christ, the mystery, was God and man, that He might be our Savior. And listen, we find the miracle of the deed of Christ. What is believed surely about Christmas today is that Jesus Christ was born from a virgin and He came forth as the Son of Man and the Son of God. Listen, He was man, but He was God. And we celebrate today that that person born was more than a good teacher, a good humanitarian, a great physician, a great teacher. He was more than a religious leader, a prophet. He was more than, listen, just a socially concerned individual. Jesus Christ was God in human flesh. My friend, He is in a class by Himself. He's above all others, and He's given a name above every name because He's the great Savior, the Son of God, who was willing to come and die for your sin and mine. And so we come to worship Him, and that is surely believed among us concerning this Christmas time. You see, my friend, when you consider both the divine and human aspect of Jesus' birth, the virgin-born Son of God, it reveals some things significant to us. It reveals the incomprehensible love of God. That was not just a man who was willing to die for you, my friend. That was not just a man, listen, who was willing to take your judgment and take your punishment and take, listen, what we deserve, the just for the unjust. Listen, dying for my sin. But it was God who came down to be a man in order to do so. When you take away the virgin birth and take away the incarnation, you cancel out the mystery of what kind of love is this, that God Himself would come and die for the sinner. Listen, it also implies and reveals the depth of man's sinful condition. I needed more than somebody to sacrifice for me. I needed more than somebody to step up and say, I'll take your punishment. There was only one person who could come and pay the price of what I did and save me from my sin and save me from the darkness and depravity of my heart. The only one who could do it was God Himself. And the incarnation and the virgin birth shows us the depth of man's transgression for what it took to pay the price. And so listen, thank God. It is surely believed among us that God loved us and He's the only one that could save us, and He came to do so. You see, also it implies and reveals the necessity of faith and not works. The necessity of faith. Oh, my friend, there's only one who could purchase your pardon. There's only one who could bring you forgiveness of sin. There's only one that could give you a right standing with God Himself. It was none other than Jesus Himself, the Son of God. And He alone, my friend, He alone can save you. It's not of works which we have done. No, it's by the grace of God that we are saved. It was God's provision. Grace is God doing for you what you could never do for yourself. And Jesus Christ came and established the fact that even the vilest of offenders could be saved. Listen, the incarnation and the virgin birth give testimony not only to the love of God and to the depravity of our sin, but it opened up heaven for every sinner and every vile reprobate that we could come and call out in mercy unto God, and that He would save us and wash us and make us new, for He has the power to save the sinner and transform the sinner. And so listen, this great miracle gives testimony of the great salvation of God and the grace of the Lord in doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Number three, I want you to see what is surely believed among us about Christmas. Not only, my friend, that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, but also Jesus, the virgin-born Son of God incarnate, but also that Jesus Christ is indeed the Savior of the world, the coming King and Lord of all. If you look in Luke chapter number 2, I'm trying to hurry, but you'll find that the angels came again. And there were some shepherds out in the field doing what they always did. The ordinary circumstances of life as they were tending the flock by night, protecting that flock, and out among the starry skies at night, something transpired. God interrupted the normal routine of life, and the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, and He came with a great announcement. And the Bible said in verse number 9 of chapter 2, and lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be, notice, to all people. Did you get that? To all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now listen, the great announcement. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Toward men. Opportunity given. An invitation. A call for there to be peace all around the world. You see, my friend, here's what is surely believed among us. That Jesus Christ, listen, was not just a leader of the Jews. He was not just a Savior of the Jews and not just a King of the Jews. That Jesus Christ was sent as God's gift to the whole world. And the great angels came to make sure that as the shepherds went forward, they were to announce the fact that God included all when He gave the announcement concerning the coming of Jesus Christ. And the highest of glory and the offer from God, listen, was peace and goodwill. In Matthew chapter 2, we won't take the time to look, but the Lord also gave a divine light, a mysterious light, a miraculous star that led men from the east. It led those who represented the Gentile world, brought them all the way over until they found and discovered where the child did lay. And listen, those wise men came and they brought gifts, but they did something significant. The Bible said They worship the child. They worship the child. To worship anybody other than God's blasphemy. They came to worship the child. You see, God is giving us a picture. Listen, what is surely believed among us is that, listen, not only the lineage of Abraham, but also the lineage of Adam. Not only from those who are in the covenant that God had made with Israel, but those who are out of the covenant. Not only those who had received the law and attempted to walk in the laws of Moses, but those, listen, who were common, ordinary sinners. Even from the vast array of what they would have considered the dogs of this world. Thank God Jesus Christ came to save the vilest offender and to reach down to the lowest, listen, to lift them up and bring them salvation that they might have an eternal fellowship with Almighty God. We surely believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior for the whole world and that Jesus Christ is the Savior for the sinner. And no matter what you've done, if you come to Christ, He'll wash you clean, make you new, and give you eternal life. For Jesus Christ is the Savior of the sinner. And that's surely believed among us as we celebrate this Christmas time. I won't take the time to go further, but there was Simeon in Luke chapter 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him. He had been waiting for the consolation of Israel, and he held the baby in his arms. And oh, God revealed to him, listen, he was the great Savior and the great coming King. I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ is the great High Priest who's interceding to heaven. See, the right hand of God the Father making intercession for us. I want to tell you something. He shall return. For there is yet the fulfillment of Him being enthroned upon the earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My friend, when you and I celebrate Christmas and we look upon the nativity scene, to some people the end of the story is a babe in a manger. That's not the end of our story. Because when He comes the second time, it won't be a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, placed in a barn with the animals. When He comes back the next time, He comes back in glory like you've never seen before, bringing the mighty host of God with Him, coming, listen, to testify indeed that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When we celebrate Christmas, we also look to who the baby became, what He did, and yet also what shall be fulfilled in the great birth of that child Jesus. Thank God you and I today, in what we surely believe about Christmas, just like we know there's an empty tomb, there's an empty cradle, for Jesus shall come back, and He'll trade the cradle this time for the throne, and He will rule and reign. This is surely believed among us. Surely. I trust today that as Luke said by the Holy Ghost of God, these things have been set in order that we might know with a certainty these things. For these things were revealed by God Himself. And they were confirmed by eyewitnesses. They've been confirmed, listen, by those martyred by the faith. And they are confirmed this day by the testimonies of those who came to Jesus and He changed their life and forgave their sins and made new creatures of them. And I'm here to testify that Jesus Christ is alive, that He's real, for He spoke to me today. And listen, I rejoice in His holy word. And I know that soon He shall return. What do we believe about Christmas? Listen, it's been revealed. The things that we surely believe about Christmas and that others desperately need to hear. Who He is, why He came, what He has done, and that He shall return.